Hello, fellow learners and brothers and sisters in the journey of becoming Franciscan, ever more informing ourselves or finding others to inform us, and then that beautiful reforming, the newness that comes from this process to the point that you and I become transformed, truly moved over into a, not just a new shape, the form, in you, as you and I know, is deeper, richer, and more vast, and also more intimate. So as I take a little time with you to talk about actually mentoring first with the book beside me, you and I would invite us to take wonderfully, joyfully, seriously the title of it. And my guess is you already have and are now. That God has chosen us to build with living stones. Often, unfortunately, in the Western world, teachers begin by thinking objectively of the other, meaning the one who doesn't yet know that they're living stones. And it was as long ago as St. Gregory the Great that he talked about the demeanor of the catechist, the demeanor, the way in which one begins to open the faith and practice to someone. And it really is by our disposition, our deposito, the way we are with them. So, as I love to do alliteration, it's not so much about the presentation as it is the people and then the process, our way of being with each other, with that which we hope to present and also have them moving into as well. Similarly, other words, it isn't just material, which is often a way in which an academic setting would first approach it, but it's the manner in which we go about it, and thus taking very seriously the fact that part of the content of our time, indeed the core of the mountain, is almost hidden because it's buried in us and emerges especially in our relationships. So you and I, by building with living stones, are admitting to our own ongoing growth. I am anyway at my late age stage in life, and I love the line that comes from Buddhism about teachers, particularly masters. And I think each of you are that, and each of us are in our own way. So we're a part of our being a master is we want to learn more, not for mastery, but because we love what it is we're learning, and we want to pass on that love almost more than the things we're learning. You might pause and feel that movement. I've already said many things, but a mentor is in love with that which they want to share with the other, or with what the other will share with them. So it is a relationship of love. It's really quite wonderful to enter into that sort of relationship. And yet, I don't know about you, but I know it's true for me. So I identify with the Buddha saying that the master, and you are one, the master always limps. So not only do I have leg problems, but I have memory problems, I have heart problems, I have struggles in my life. And each of us in our own way can name things that are disabling in a moment, or they're the doorway in which another learns beside us. Their insight, not yours or mine. Their hunger for another section of this book. And maybe I didn't know we were going to go that quickly. Maybe you're surprised with me right now that I wouldn't be talking about the material of the book or its content, but I would be talking about the manner and the way in which you and I would enter into the wisdom of this book by forming relationships. You know that, and I know that, but it's worth reflecting on. An example would be Matthew's reading at the time in which I'm recording this. Tells us that Jesus is almost always either standing in a boat or on a shore. Now, you and I know it's going to be funny, but there's no podium in front of him, and I'm going to guess he didn't have notes. But that doesn't mean he wasn't deep into what he was sharing. It wasn't off the cuff. It was in his heart and soul. It is of his person, and now it is of ours in Christ. And so it doesn't mean that we don't do a lot of preparation or that we enter into this, but it is primarily, again, not the presentation or the material. It's about the process and the people who are involved and our ability to move ahead, co-mentoring. Why? Because what goes in comes out the other side, as they talk about sausage factories. And the mountain is all about relationships. So no wonder we'd want to start there in that consideration. Books about this that are very helpful. Edward Sellner, S-E-L-L-N-E-R, classic book, Mentoring, The Ministry of Spiritual Kinship. Gabriel Moran wrote a beautiful book. His wife, Maria, both taught at Harvard for a time, had been religious, vowed in a religion, who married and continued the pursuit of what you and I are involved in. And a title of one of his books, maybe many of you have heard me quote it, is simply this, Showing How, the Act of Teaching. So you and I, as we go into this book and the different sections, and they're wonderfully named. The first one, Francis Clare and the Franciscan family. It ain't about the things of the family. It's about the relationships of the family. The wonder of being family. So yes, facts. Yes, details. Yes, those things are important. But what we're showing how our act of teaching is showing our own love for being members of one family, as Francis would tell us. Another book, you may have read her, Sharon Parks, amazing book, Big Questions, Worthy Dreams, Mentoring Young Adults and Their Search for Meaning, Purpose, and Faith. And we've used often with our board and haven't in a while. She talks about environments or cultures and settings. And she was here at Bonaventure to do Francis Week years ago and was taken back completely by the setting here because it in of itself teaches. It calls us to the communality of the process of learning, mentoring, reflecting, integrating, becoming one with both what we're attempting to present and the one who is in it, the Word of God. It's so important we don't lose that, and that doesn't become just a pious phrase. In other words, you and I have comfort in a facility of speaking from a place of faith. Not just fact, not just of history, but his or hers story, as Richard Rohr and others would help us know. And another book that's especially helpful, the Whiteheads, Evelyn and James Whitehead wrote a number of books together, but The Promise of Partnership, a model for collaborative ministry. And in that is, it's almost all about, but it continues to unfold, themes around mentoring, and I'll be able to pass these on to you. So you watch me wanting to just invite us into this deeper sense of what we're doing and realizing how great it is to do this. I start off, I hope, a little bit as a cheerleader for you and me. You might say, well, why do you record this? Why do we spend time on this? In our world, there's nothing more important than the engagement of one another. We know it. Our Pope is telling us, reclaim your relationships with creation and everybody else around us. That is the opening door of mentoring, not the material or the ideas. We have that. Now we assimilate it, relate to it, and bring it out as dinner to be shared with others. What a great opportunity we have. There's obviously more that can be said about this. So I look forward to our first time together that will be set up, I know, before long, hopefully in the month of August. And I want to thank already Karen for all her work of assembling us and beginning to set what we really do need is the pattern and habit of learning so that we can develop the habit and pattern of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's all accomplished through the rich relationships that Jesus and others formed while walking by the sea or on board a boat, whether it was in sunlight or a bad storm. Or you and I, maybe you'll be sitting somewhere on a pillow and doing a Zoom with someone who is sitting on a beach. Setting is everywhere. Setting is everything, especially our first setting, is our heart enlightened by the grace of God. And in that, Sister Wisdom, who is among us now. Sata Sapientiae, Seed of Wisdom, enlighten all of us as we move further into mentoring.